How Not to Suck a Divorce podcast cannot be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information contained herein and provided on the podcast and the resources available are not intended and shall not be construed as legal advice. And with that, enjoy the show.
The process of getting divorced might suck, but you don't have to suck at getting divorced.
You have found the only divorce podcast that's hosted by a family law attorney and a recovering comedian. Get ready for action steps, empathy, and a lot of laughs.
This is How Not to Suck at Divorce. You spoke, we listened.
Our number one product, the Divorce Crash Course, is now available as a private podcast.
So for $150, you'll have access to listen to the DCC just like you're listening to this episode right now. You can watch the DCC and you'll get the printable workbook.
More importantly, you'll get insider information to save up to thousands of dollars on your divorce.
The Divorce Crash Course, expert divorce guidance for a fraction of the price. Check out the link in our show notes or visit thedivorcecrashcourse.com. All right, so now comes part two of our conversation on leaving an abusive marriage. In part one, we discussed everything that we want you to do before you leave. And I think the most important takeaway from that is you need to have your plan A, and then you need to have your plan B for when things don't go according to plan A.
And now we're going to break down what we want you to do during your divorce from somebody who is abusive. And reminder, abuse is not just broken ribs and a black eye. Abuse can take many forms.
We're going to get into a conversation in just a few minutes with somebody who left an abusive marriage. And their experience was that on the outside, everything looked great. But on the inside, not so great.
So what do you do if you're getting ready to leave a marriage that only appeared great in public? We've all seen that, whether it's you or your friends. We've been there. We've seen these types of relationships. And I'm talking about those of you who are prepping for a divorce from somebody who's abusive. So let's talk about three specific action steps that are just for you.
Yep.
Number one, I want you to think about items that you need to obtain or protect when you're leaving your marriage. And we'll get into these a little bit more in the episode, but that's number one. Number two, I want you to have a safety plan for yourself and your children if you have children. Think about the things that could go wrong and let's get a safety plan in place. And number three, what I want you to do is prepare yourself for things to get worse before they get better. And we'll get into how to do that as well.
So what it sounds like to me is that we're protecting the things, we're protecting whether that's jewelry, money, you know, your boat, whatever it is, you want to make sure that there is a plan in place to protect things that your soon-to-be ex could use against you, right? To hold over your head. Is that kind of the idea?
That is. And you know, what I see a lot, and this is why this is my first action step, is that when you're leaving somebody who's abusive, and abusive could mean anything from physical abuse to controlling. We've talked about mm-hmm. this a lot. A lot of times abuse takes the form of control. So when you're leaving somebody who's very controlling, what I usually see is them lashing out. And the first way that they lash out is taking something or hiding something from you that means something. So whether it's moving all the financial records out of the house so that you don't have access to it right at the tip of your fingertips, or maybe they take something of yours that is super sentimental that your grandmother gave you, or your jewelry is missing. So those are things that I'm talking about. Think about what if you're leaving an abusive marriage, what somebody who's trying to control you may take that could hurt you and
or even
protect it.
Or even just hanging over your head, you're not going to get a penny. You know, that we see that all the time of people saying, okay, go ahead, try to divorce me. Let's see what happens. So that's something else that we want you to be mindful of these ways. And we did a whole episode on manipulation. So that's like the other stuff. Okay, the other two steps before we get into this conversation, we're talking about a safety plan for you and your kids physically. Where do you physically need to go if things go wackadoodle-doo? And then the last one, and I think this is the hardest pill for people to swallow because they don't want this to be the reality, which is that things are going to get worse before they get better, but they will get so much better. And that's not to scare you out of the process, but we just want you to be smart so that you're prepared.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think everyone understands kind of what a safety plan looks like. And you should be talking to your lawyer about that, getting your information of what's appropriate and what isn't, and go through what could happen in your mind with your spouse. Nobody knows your spouse better than you do. So I think we can kind of move on to the third one, which you just talked about, Andrea, which is prepare for things to get worse before they get better. It's just the reality. What we see as divorce lawyers is once the divorce is in action, usually the first bit of the divorce is rockier than you would expect. But then it starts to level out. So you've got to get through that rocky period. And there's ways that you can do that. So number one, I think if you just know in your mind that it's going to get rockier before it gets better, number one, you're going to be more prepared and more calm for when that does happen. So that's why we're telling you that this is a step that you need to think about. Now, another idea for you is build a community around you. We don't love when we send people out to talk to every one of their girlfriends or guy friends about the divorce because a lot of people have a lot of opinions, but sometimes community could be as simple as our community on how not to suck at divorce. We have a full community that's confidential on Facebook that people are there going through the same things. It allows you to put questions out there, just feel like I am not alone. And sometimes that confidential community is exactly what you need. Do you have other ideas on this point, Andrea?
Well, I think that I want to get into community in just a minute. But I think what's important for everyone to remember is that it feels so isolating, especially when you are leaving something that looked good on the outside, because you're going to have a lot of people in your world who are going to question what you're doing. Right? Like, what do you mean? What do you mean? You're gonna break up your family? She's such a nice girl. She makes the best cherry pie. You really think that this is it? You can't. What about couples therapy? Right? Or, but he's so great with the kids. He's such a good dad. He's the leader in our community. You know, like, but they don't know what's going on. They don't know how this marriage is making you feel and how it's really going to shape your children's minds on what relationships should look like. So that's a reason why you're going to need people who get it. And with that, I think that we should get into this conversation. All right. So now we have a story for you in a conversation for you as someone who left a marriage where they very much felt controlled, maybe even trapped at one point. Today, our guest is Laura Richards. She's the host of That's Where I'm At podcast, and her Instagram posts, you guys, are so relatable that I personally was compelled to message her to get her on this show. And I know that you all have been waiting to hear her story because we teased it when we first started talking, and then we went into all these action steps. So now we're going to get right into it. Laura, hey, welcome to How Not to Suck at Divorce.
Hello. I'm so excited to be here and talk to you guys.
Laura, I'm just going to hop right in. So from the outside, what did your marriage look like?
It was great. I curated quite the facade, especially on social media. Everything was great. We were a happy family. I had three great kids. I definitely was sucked into the, you know, just make sure everybody knows you're happy. Everything's good. And I also, I think, had a little bit of that delusion of if you just say it enough, gonna happen. You know, I think in some regard, I did have some happiness in there. I thought I was happy. I didn't know what was going on because it was covert narcissism. And so I didn't know what was happening. So yeah, I was the curator of the facade. That was my job. No, it's self-imposed. You know, that was my job to do that. I also was in some societal structures that's just, we didn't talk about anything else. Everybody was happy and you had to be happy. And if you weren't happy, you were doing something wrong. And so.
Wait, what do you mean? What are we talking about here? What structure?
About church. Yeah, okay. The church environment I was in. Everybody around me seemed to have like a perfect life, perfect marriage. and we weren't having those conversations. I'm having them now with friends who were not happy and were miserable and have since left their marriages, but it just wasn't something that was being done around me. And so I fought with myself, like the internal, like I need to tell people what's happening, even though it was confusing. I didn't feel good about myself, but I curated the rest.
So Laura, were you one of those people that, you know, we talk about this, we've talked about it on numerous episodes. Were you one of those people posting all the vacations with your kids and your family and the perfect photos? And, you know, I always love the ones that you're posting your spouse and like doing these like love posts about your spouse and how fabulous they are. Was that you?
Oh, yeah. Every bit of it. The vacations, the matching shirts at Christmas, you know.
Oh, God.
All the things. Yeah, all the things. I mean, I definitely wanted that because that just sounded fun to me. And I'm very much a Disneyland mom. Like we went to Disneyland all the time. I love that kind of thing. But it, you know, when I look back at pictures, I'm like, yeah, we were fighting. Like we were fighting in the middle of Disneyland. You know, those kinds of things.
I have my own memories from that time of like posting pictures on like holidays with everybody. And it would almost make me like sick to my stomach when people would comment on like, you guys are so cute. What a great family. I'm like, you guys have no idea. So leading into that, in your marriage, what was happening behind closed doors? What did the public not see?
Yeah, it was coercive control. It was belittling. You know, I was with a covert narcissist, which I didn't know any of this until after my divorce. And so after the divorce, I started to get clarity about what had been happening because I really didn't understand. Like my husband was just difficult. He just would tell me I just wasn't a good enough mom. I wasn't a good enough wife. But it was very vague, right? It was just like, if only you were better. Better at doing what? You know, like
over the actual words that he would say, like, I want to give people the actual phrases because I think that helps them like look back in their own marriage and be like, oh yeah. So he would actually say to you,
yeah, if only you were better. If only you were, the biggest thing for him was if I was less angry, then we wouldn't have so many problems. But now I know I was angry because I was being systematically abused, you know, so I didn't realize I was not encouraged. Anytime I asked for help, he would just tell me, you just need a better schedule. You're not that great a mom. It's just the way it is. Things like that. And I'd be like, I don't get it. And I'd say, like, why don't you say nice things to me? And he would say, for one thing, you're not a good mom, so I'm not going to tell you you are. Which, like, what do you do with that, right? Like, gee, thanks. Yeah. And so, I'd have to try and prove myself even more. And then just him saying, like, even in therapy, like, saying that, he'd go, she is a good mom. And by the time he said that at some point, forced by the therapist, you know, it's a little too late. And where at home, you're constantly being told, if only you were better, if you were a better mom, the kids would be better, things like that. So it's a constant barrage of, it's not good enough. I mean, simple things like I would cook dinner. Why not? Like cooking dinner, like we eat. So I would cook dinner and he would come home and look at it and say, I'm not going to eat that. I'm going to look for leftovers in the fridge. You know, things like that. You're systematically punished over and over and over. And then he would say to me, you shouldn't care what I say to you. You should work on your self-esteem. So that no matter what anyone says to you, you will be okay with yourself.
That's so interesting.
And I'm like, and so because I had no self-esteem, I was like, yeah, he's right. I'll work on my self-esteem. So that's what I worked on. That's what I went to therapy for because I was such a terrible person. That was the theme. So I went to therapy and that's where I found my voice.
Interesting. So that's really where you realized things were not healthy was therapy.
Well, that I was very unhappy. She never said, like, there's something wrong with him. Because we only went to the same therapist that was my therapist wasn't usually our marriage counselor. You know, it was somebody else. And that's highly recommended. But actually, marriage counseling is not recommended if you think you're in abuse. Because there's an imbalance of power. They will use the time to manipulate you more. They'll gather information. Things like that. And that's what he did. He would walk in the door and be like, I'm really worried about Laura. There's something wrong. Like, she's going crazy. Well, I'm going crazy because you're gaslighting me, but I didn't know that.
Well, and one thing I want to say to our listeners too, is this is a very common theme that divorce lawyers see. So I'm going to give two quick stories about things that I've seen. So I have a client who's a male. Let's just call him Chad, because if you've listened to our podcast, we always use our favorite divorce couple, Chad and Brenda. So, and this is true. Chad came in. Chad is just beaten down. Chad has been in therapy the last 5 years with Brenda. He has been told that he needs to work on himself. He's been working on himself for 5 years. Brenda's not really been doing anything. And Brenda has kind of told him, like, if you are better in these situations, if you give me access to our money, I feel like I don't have access to our money, then I'll come back around as your wife. And meanwhile, they're not intimately involved at all. So now Chad feels very, very rejected. Chad just feels like nothing he can do is right, but he still is in it. He thinks that saving the marriage is going to help him. So he's just been in this horrible cycle of really kind of an abusive relationship, but he can't see it. So I have that going on. I also have a female, let's call her Brenda, who is a high-powered professional in her work life. But at home, same thing kind of as you, Laura. She comes home, she's told she's not doing a good job as a mom. Why doesn't she take care of herself more? And I said to her, I said, how could you take care of yourself more? You go to work, you work a million hours, you come home, you're a mom, you're 100% on. When would you have time to make it to the gym? When would you have time to make it to your doctor's appointments? And it was one of those conversations where it kind of clicked in her mind, being like, you're right. But no one has said that to her before because she's living under a roof of control. So I want to say to our listeners, if any of these stories are sounding familiar, you are not alone. And a lot of times marriages, especially from what I see, look really good from the outside. And on the inside, it's not always, you know, butterflies and roses. It's just not.
Right. And, you know, and I think about Brenda's story that if you are going to the gym, now you're neglecting the kids. I mean, they'll find a way to spin it on you. And if you're in abuse, I mean, if you have a healthy partner, you're not going to be going for a divorce. But if you have a healthy partner, you can have those conversations and say, I need this time for myself. But I didn't have that. You know, I was always being like called and texted, like, when are you getting home? You can't take care of your children. I can't go out to coffee with friends. Like, what's the problem? You know, so that was hard. I resonate with actually both those.
You resonate with Chad and Brenda, right?
Seriously. I mean, seriously, because the stories are so similar, aren't they? That when we get to a certain point, they're so similar. There's some disconnect somewhere. And we weren't intimate at the end either. He made a sweeping announcement that just let me know if you want to have sex. And I'm like, it was just another way.
Not with you.
I was
with anybody.
Yeah, I was like, wait,
is an invitation? What are we doing?
You're just gonna find me to open the deal. You know, and this is the thing, is like, I was such a good, faithful wife. I mean, I gave him fidelity for so many years, and I had to fight with him about all of our marriage, and it just makes me crazy. Like, I tell stories, and my friend goes, oh my gosh, like, you were so faithful. And then he's off doing whatever he wants. And I'm like, I know, but I was trained not to say anything. That's how I was trained all my life. That's how I was trained.
You're not alone in that.
Yeah.
You know, so many of us, and I'll lump myself into that sum, who have left marriages where there was a ton of unhealthy control.
Yeah.
Somebody trained us. You know, whether we went to a school for this or not, we were trained to accept that type of treatment. And it's hard to rewire your brain. And this reminds me of something I want to mention really quickly before we get back to these steps of what we want you to do if you are leaving a marriage where there's some form of abuse. There was an episode that we did earlier this year where we talked about an acronym actually called TALK that I want to remind everybody of right now. And this is a really healthy acronym to use if you are looking at your marriage with a more critical lens. The T stands for therapy. Is your ass in therapy? Because it should be if you are looking at leaving your marriage. The A stands for attunement. If you don't know what attunement is, that's okay. It's emotional attention. Are you getting that type of emotional attention that you need? Meaning,
Is your husband or wife making you feel guilty because you're going to the gym? Or do they get that that's what you need? When you see them call you on your phone, do you get a yucky feeling in your tummy? Or are you like, oh, yay, they're checking in on me? Or do you feel like, fuck, what do they want now? The L, simple, stands for laughter. How often do you laugh together? That is a huge red flag. If you guys haven't had joy and laughter together in a while, then something is not right. The K stands for knowledge. How much do you know about what the process will look like ahead of you if you choose to leave the marriage? So again, that's the TALK acronym. I think it's really crucial to use in these situations. But going back to your story, Laura, and as we weave our legal steps through this, at what point did you first consult legal counsel?
Well, I was going to stay forever because I was in freeze mode for sure. Oh, yeah. You know, mm-hmm. I was very much in freeze mode. So he had come to me to say, like, if this is the way our life is going to be, you should tell me you want a divorce. And I was like, why do I have to do it? Like, what? I don't understand. And that was very much his MO, you know, like, just pass it on to me, make me the problem.
Yeah.
And at first I thought, well, maybe we can work it out. I mean, it sort of made me panic. And then I just, like, halfway through, I couldn't even waste one more breath on him. And I said, yeah, you know what? I am done. And of course, because I call him a narcissist and he has all the traits of one, he said, well, we'll do the paperwork ourselves. Don't do that. And I have to say, they all do that. Like, because I've heard that from so many women I coach. Well, he thinks we should do the paperwork ourselves. Well, because we're in a state where it's very simple to get divorced and we didn't have grown children. I mean, we have grown children. And I was like, no, I didn't understand how we're going to divide our retirement and things like that. And I have a pension that's not even paying right now. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't understand any of that. I'm like, how is that going to happen? And at this point, I think I had it in my head that, like, I don't know if I can trust him. I didn't know what I know now, but I was starting to get to that point where I'm like, I don't even know if I can trust him anymore because I've caught him in too many things. The last 2 years of our marriage were during the pandemic, and I was like, I don't even like him anymore. And he doesn't like me, that's for sure. And so I didn't know if I could trust him. I told him, no, we're not going to do our own paperwork. I'm not happy about that. He said, okay, well, let me look into it. So we actually looked into lawyers, but we actually went with a mediator who was able to split everything for us. And that's what we did. And it worked really well for us. But I have to say, I was still an abused woman sitting in that mediator's office, trying to get a divorce, being really quiet and meek. And I'm actually still friends with the mediator. She's very nice because, contrary to popular belief inside my marriage, I was not a horrible person. I actually am and we just became friends. Like, after the mediation was over, we just connected, you know, and she's really a kind person. So I talked to her about this and I said, you didn't know either what was going on, because I didn't know what was going on. I just sat there, you know, I think you can imagine it, you know, real small and meek, the way I always did, not saying anything, going, yeah, that sounds good. Sure, that sounds good. Like, I don't think I was really a good participant in that. And so I really do think he hid money from me. And that's not anything I can prove. And that's not anything I'm going to go after. I actually tried to talk to him about it after the fact. And of course, he denied and everything. And there was nothing I could do. I didn't have the money to go after him.
So, Laura, I want to clarify one thing, because our listeners might be, you know, in the beginning process of a divorce. It's our recommendation on this podcast that everybody has their own attorney.
Yeah.
Every state is different. And I know you're in a different state than we're located in. But I want to let you know that where I am in Illinois and Chicago, you are not able to get divorced with only a mediator. You are not able to use one lawyer for both people. And there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
It promotes manipulation. So if you are hearing Laura's story and hearing what she's saying about manipulation, and she, you know, her process was pretty nice with the mediator that she's still friends with, but she's worried that she left money on the table, that he was hiding something. And that's why it's important to have a lawyer on both sides of the divorce process. So just want to be cognizant of that. And Laura, tell our listeners, where are you located currently?
I'm in Nevada. So, you know, you can get married the same day and get divorced.
I'm wondering, will Elvis also do your divorce?
He does not. He only does weddings. He does not do the divorce.
Just a man of love. Just a man of love. We need another like celebrity from way back when to be there at the divorces, I think.
Wouldn't that be awesome? My God. I mean, I'm totally about that. Like, I love the cheesy side of Las Vegas. So I'm down for all of that. Next wedding. Next person I don't think I'm going to get married, but.
What about it be like Little Richard? I imagine like someone like. I don't know.
Wayne Newton is the other Mr. Las Vegas. Yeah, because he's been here. I mean, Wayne Newton's been part of the industry since he was like 16 or something. So, yeah, he's still very active. You know, we have the hockey team here. We have, you know, there's a lot of celebrities in Las Vegas. So we're always having that kind of fun stuff.
Okay, I think maybe we get Wayne on the divorces then. So we've got Elvis marrying you and then Wayne Newton singing you sayonara. Yeah. Okay.
That's fine.
So let's go back to these action steps, okay?
Yes.
So, Morgan, breathing in what Laura experienced, right, and what we're talking about here, something that Laura could have done and probably should have done is knowing, and again, Laura didn't know what she was dealing with. She only knows now that she was being controlled, but you guys, our lucky listeners, you're going to have a leg up in the game.
Yes.
Because the fact that you're even listening to this episode means that you know that something's not right. You have a good idea that you might be in something that's a lot unhealthier than you think it is. So with that, be mindful of things that they can hang over your head or hide from you. Just that the control doesn't end with the divorce.
No.
Know that. As much as that sucks, they're going to continue to use things until you're really and truly done.
And before Morgan speaks, can I just comment on something? I had a revelation about this on another interview. I used to really believe, like, Nevada, there's no separation. Like, literally, we were divorced 12 hours later. So,
oh my God.
Oh, yeah. It was really, I'm telling you, come to Nevada, do whatever you want. You can lose your life savings. You can do whatever you want. So I used to not really be excited about separation because I thought, God, then I have to be attached to him. And what if he's off doing things? But the literally had a revelation during an interview. It was like, oh, like a 6 month revelation. I mean, 6 month separation would have given me some revelation. I would have been like, oh, now I see who I'm dealing with, because I would have been separated from him. I would have started healing, because around 3 months, I was like, I started waking up. So I do now see how that could actually be good. Maybe not a year, but geez, 6 months.
Well, it's funny you say that, because one of the things that I see with my clients is, you know, in our best divorce, maybe we, at least in Illinois, could get it done in, you know, 6 weeks, 3 months. And that's usually without kid issues, without a expansive estate, all of those kind of things. But what you see and one of our action steps was that you need to prepare yourself that it's going to get rockier before it gets better. And so it does. It gets kind of rocky at first, at least where we are. And then what happens is you start to kind of settle in. You start to settle in and have these revelations, Laura, that you were having post-divorce. You start to get stronger. You start to understand the manipulation or control that maybe you were experiencing that you had no idea. And you kind of get your feet under you before you make these big decisions in your divorce. So that's why when you were saying, you know, you filed for divorce and you were divorced 12 hours later, you know, what was, I guess the question for me is, because I'm like mind blown by it.
Yeah.
What was the time, like how long did it take from the time you started engaging the mediator to the time you filed your divorce?
It took 6 weeks, and only because we had to do the paperwork. So we would meet with her and she would go through the law as far as like, tell us all your assets. And then we would talk about how we were going to divide them and things like that. It took 6 weeks because frankly, I was overwhelmed and it was me. I mean, I didn't know he had a new supply waiting. So, you know, he was in a hurry. He's like, let's go. You know, I didn't know any of that. And so he was like, you just need to, like, what is your deal? Like, why are you dragging your feet? Again, in that same coercive control that I'd always been in my marriage. And I didn't know. And so I was just like, well, I'm just overwhelmed by the whole process. And I want to make sure I'm not doing anything wrong. And when you're using a mediator, which I don't think a mediator is bad in and of itself, but I love the idea of we should have each had our own. I wish now, looking back. So I've learned so much interviewing, you know, other people about divorce was I sure didn't know. So I'm so glad you guys talk about this and that there's information out there because I sure didn't know that. And I was still, you know, I was still married. So I was still taking his word for whatever was going on. And of course, this person is going to have my best interests at heart. And they only know what they know.
Right. And one of the things we want you to know is we love mediators, or at least I love mediators. Mm-hmm. It's just using them in the right way.
Right.
I think the gold standard of using a mediator for all of our listeners is for each of you to have a lawyer and then use the mediator through your lawyers. I think it saves you money. It's confidential. It's fantastic. But doing it without any legal help on the side is not a good idea. Okay, I want to jump into one of our other action steps and see if you ran into this. I mean, I'm kind of thinking you maybe did. One of our action steps was when you're in the middle or like it, starting this divorce, you got to think about the items that you want to obtain or protect before you kind of walk away. And the reason is because you both, Andrea and you both experience it, the control switches. So when you're in a bad relationship or in a tricky relationship with someone who's controlling, they're controlling you. But once you put that line in the sand and say, I'm divorcing you, the control switches because they're starting to lose the grip on you.
Yeah.
And so the control usually pops out in other ways, at least as a divorce lawyer's perspective. I see it in them trying to take things away, meaning like financial documents, jewelry, things that matter, heirlooms, things like that. So I always say, think about protecting the items that they might use as control during the divorce. Did you have any of that in your divorce process?
I didn't. He wasn't fighting me on too many things, though. Looking back, I'm thinking, you know, he was just like, oh no, I don't want you to take that whatever random thing that we had. We lived a pretty simple life. I think I was just, I felt like I was being fair with like, okay, well, this is your stuff. This is my stuff. Like if we had personal effects or whatever, but nothing that I can think of. At one point, he did say, you know, Laura never really contributed to the household finances. And I was like, I had a full-time job. Like, what are you talking about? And she stopped in her tracks and just looked at him and was like, yeah, Nevada doesn't care. And so she went back. And he stopped talking. So they will try to do anything. Like, why did he say that? So that she'll give him more money or somehow he's going to get more money. So I didn't have too much of those things.
Because in that moment, he was grasping for control that he felt like he was losing.
Exactly.
He did not want things to be split evenly, you know. Right. And so he's like, I could just say something and then maybe somebody will grab onto it and I can get a little bit of something back. I think that commonly it's money, you know, that's hung over your head, whether it's somebody saying, go ahead, try to divorce me. You're not going to get a penny.
Right.
Or, you know, or sometimes it's money attached to the kids. You know, it's a little bit more complex than just, I want to keep this, you know, family heirloom of a teapot, you know, no more tea for you.
Right.
Like, you know, I think that a lot of times it's really complex, but I think our point here is be mindful, you guys. Again, what Laura went through is quite unique. You know, Laura, like, it sounds like in Vegas, everything's a gamble. Like, it don't matter.
Roll
the dice. But we don't want you to roll the dice. It's needed to be thoughtful and strategic. The second action step that we really, really want you guys to keep in mind is your safety and your children's safety. Because what can happen a lot of times is even if the abuse that you are leaving is not physical, things can get really unhealthy really quickly. Mm-hmm. And I know already, like Laura didn't experience, and Laura, correct me if I'm wrong, you did not have physical
no
abuse. Okay. So, you know, in my marriage, I did not have physical abuse. And when my husband learned that I was going to leave the marriage, things got very unsafe very quickly in my house. And that is something that we want you all to be prepared for in step two, which is you need to have a safety plan for you and your children. Morgan, do you want to expand on that, like legally, what we're talking about?
Yes. So exactly what Andrea just said. I mean, I don't think that if you're in a marriage where maybe it's just controlling, you don't expect that maybe it could go from controlling to maybe way worse. And so what we're saying to you is prep for the worst and hope for the best. And if you prep for the worst and hope for the best, let's just know that you have a plan. So if the worst happens, you are prepared for it. And how do you do that, right? Because you might be sitting there saying, oh, that's great, Morgan, but how the hell am I going to do that? Well, that's why you are consulting with a lawyer.
Yeah.
And you're saying to them, right now, I'm just being controlled. Everything I do, and I hear stories all the time. It's, you know, Brenda goes to the grocery store and Chad is calling Brenda saying, why did you spend $56 on groceries? And she's like, I'm feeding a family of five. What? Why are you even know where I am right now? Why are you doing this? Mm-hmm. So it could be something that simple. But what I want you to say to your lawyer is, hey, this is what really has been going on. I thought it was normal, but it's not really normal. What do you see could go even worse when I say I'm leaving this marriage? And then what do I do? So that is really where you're going to put together your safety plan and plan.
And the reason why you want to run this by your attorney, friends, is because just like how, you know, in Nevada, things are wildly different than they are here in Illinois. Mm-hmm. Safety plans that are legally sound vary from state to state. So you need to make sure that you are putting a plan together that is in accordance with the law, because I don't want you to screw yourself legally because you left for a night with the kids and stayed at a hotel. Because in some state, you can't do that without taking some legal steps. Do not just go to your Facebook mom group to get this guidance. You need to rely on an attorney. Okay, let's move into that third action step, which is not just physical safety, but preparing yourself mentally and emotionally for things to get harder before they get better. Morgan, let's spell this out for everybody. And then I also have something I want to weave in there about the kids when you're done, as far as what they can do to prepare for that.
Yeah. And on this action item, I'm going to weave in Laura's story that you just heard. So what you heard her say, and I don't know if anyone really caught it, but I'm going to just bring it back up, was she had a really fast divorce with a mediator, which was unique. But in her mind, she was saying, well, it wasn't so fast because it took 6 weeks. And that was because just I wasn't in a good place. So that's what we're talking about. Little things like that. You can start the process and think you're really strong, and then it hits you. And for Laura, it hit her. It wasn't necessarily that it got really rocky in court or she was maybe worried about losing her children or anything like that, but it hit her. And that's why she believed that she was the delay. But it can get even worse than that. Mm-hmm. It can have both sides lobbying threats about what's going to happen in court, and you're not expecting that. And you now have this spouse on the other side that you thought you knew and has turned into a complete monster. That's when you're working with your lawyer to calm yourself down and say, is this really a thing? You know that when you start the divorce process, there's going to be a lot of paperwork that, you know, you're going through a lot, and then now you have to fill out paperwork. And that is exhausting. And we know that. Again, talk to your lawyer about this stuff, because these are things we deal with every day, and we're here to walk you through this process and make you feel better about the process. So if you're feeling one way or it's getting worse for you, that's when you're talking to your lawyer.
Something else that Laura said that we kind of glazed over, because the term that Laura used might not be a term that you all know. Laura referred to somebody as her ex-husband's new supply. Oh. And supply, when we're talking about people with high conflict personality disorders, is somebody who's feeding you. What that means in layman's terms is her husband had another girl and there was another woman there. And that's something that Laura did not know immediately. And that's something that's really important that you guys understand, is that there could be realizations that come to you that are going to throw you and that are going to make you want to scream and vomit in a car while you are sitting in a Target parking lot. And that's okay. You're not going to scream and cry forever. You will navigate through this, but we want you to have a team in place to support you for when those what the fuck moments happen.
Yes.
You want a community. We want you to be a part of our online community. Laura also has a community that we're going to talk about in a minute. We want you to listen to this podcast. We want you to have a therapist. We want you to use our divorce crash course and all of the guides. This is exactly why we do this show and why we have these things available, because I didn't. And yeah. I suffered a great deal during my divorce. I mean, Laura.
Yeah.
Let's go back to that moment for a minute. When you first found out that there was somebody else, I mean, did you cry? Throw up? Like, what did you do?
The first thing out of my mouth was, oh, I wasn't crazy. And then I was very dysregulated. I felt re-victimized by everything. And I, like, it was a beautiful mind and all the pieces were coming together. And I was like, oh, he's been lying to me. And I didn't sleep for 3 days. I just ruminated over my life, what he had just done in the divorce, what everything that just went on. And it was really overwhelming. I was very dysregulated and I understood how women snap, but we don't go to jail for, we don't go to jail for anybody. So
they're not worth it.
No, they are not. But I was like, I mean, I had friends, you know, if you know the term, like take off your earrings, you know, I had friends who were like, who?
What?
You know, I'm like, all my friends are from church, but it's like, but they weren't always in church. You know, that's
oh, I love that. They were in the streets before they were
they
in
were
the
in the streets before, and they were like, where are we going? You know, and I'm like,
no. Oh, I love
she's
it.
Like, she's not worth our time. Like,
well, and now ride at dawn.
That's right. They ride at dawn, but now you probably all look back after that rocky period and are like, thank God she came into his life because it let me loose. And God,
well, that's just it. That's it. And it's, look, as heartbreaking as that sounds, and this is the part that was really hard, where I went, because I wasn't fully in my healing journey yet, because I was healing from a divorce, irreconcilable differences. Oh, that's a different healing process. And you just found out that your ex has been lying to you for 33 years and he has someone new. Look, he always had someone, but you know, now she was really in front of my face.
Yeah,
that's a different healing. And so that re-victimization, that's why I talk about it, because you're going through a different process and people don't always understand that. And that's why we have to talk about it. Why it's so good. Like when you guys were saying something about the why are you at the grocery store thing, he did that to me. And I just had that revelation while you guys are talking about it. I'm like, after we said we're getting a divorce, he said, why are you spending money? I mean, what do you mean? Why am I spending money? Like,
right.
Life requires money. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't out like shopping or something. I was just buying life, buying groceries and things like that. And, but he already in his mind, we were done. That's what in his mind, we were done.
You bring up a really good point. And I want to say something briefly about money in regards to kids. This shit is going to come up. Why are you spending so much money on, you know, back to school clothes for the kids? Why are you signing, you know, Johnny up for soccer? We didn't agree to this. Well, what do you mean Allison's taking ballet again? She's never taken ballet. Okay, motherfucker, Allison's taken ballet for the last 10 years of her life. Guys, this is why we partner with our family wizard, because our family wizard keeps all of this stuff straight for you. You need when you are going through an abusive, when you're leaving an abusive marriage, your divorce is also going to be abusive. You want to have all of the tools and team members in place to help you get through this so that you don't want to pull out your hair extensions, because those are also expensive. Our family wizard will keep the calendar straight, keeps the expenses straight, so that your ex can't say, well, so-and-so never did this before. No, they did. And here it is. It's all uploaded into our family wizard. Our family wizard is also court monitored. So your soon-to-be ex can't pretend like he or she didn't see the message about, you know, I need reimbursement for this, or so-and-so needs to get picked up from this. You can use this platform from the time that you are separated through years after your divorce, when things actually go back to quote unquote, the new normal. Celebrities use this platform. We love this platform. It is by far the safest one to use and the most judge approved. So we love it. And also right now, we're very lucky that they offer our listeners 20% off their first year. So if you go to the link, if you go to ourfamilywizard.com/notsuck, you can get 20% off. Go there, go check out everything about Our Family Wizard.
That's right. And it's the gold standard for divorce lawyers. We look at it all the time in these cases and actually use it as evidence in court to hammer people when they're just blatantly lying. All right, Laura, I want to bring it back to you and wrap up on something positive. I'm going to lob a question at you with your story. Give me the takeaways. All right, let's just say you're about to give a TED Talk. What's your main takeaway? What do you want everyone to know about what you've gone through?
That you're going to be doing a lot of this afraid, and that's okay. And that your healing isn't about getting back to who you were before the abuse. It's about becoming a new and better version of yourself who could never be broken like that again.
I love that.
We know that at the same time.
I know. We've had, I feel like, a million guests on here, and you just like wrapped it up beautifully in a box. And I want to open that box over and over again. So thank you, Laura. Wow.
Now I know why Laura has her own podcast. So tell us about That's Where I'm At. And I love the title too.
Thank
like,
you.
That's Where I'm At. So that's how I say it. In my brain, I'm like, that's where I'm
at. No, that's exactly right. You know, I was doing some coaching with a friend. I was dreaming for the future. And I told her, I said, I don't even know what I mean by that, but I want to dream. And we would catch up because we were friends. And before we started our formal coaching, you know, we would kind of catch up and I'd be like, so that's where I'm at. And then one day I stopped and I was like, wait, is that something? And so like, I just recommend for everybody, like, just write those down. Like, you don't know what it is. Like, the universe will piece it together for you later. Like, just write it down. And it just became the mantra of, we do not have to be all the way through our healing journey. What does that even mean? We're always going to be, we're always learning and growing. So I talk to women, what I call still in the middle of the mess. They talk about their journey and it's really become the narcissist show, but I do have other stories, child abuse and grief, you know, grief mm-hmm. and loss. And I have some beautiful guests who really share their story and how they've healed after their own, you know, traumatic events.
I also feel like That's Where I'm At could be a perfect response to anything anyone asks you.
And yes.
Well, yeah, That's Where I'm At. So case closed.
Right. You know what, Morgan? I want you to use that tomorrow in court. I want you to see if you could weave in and That's Where I'm At.
I'm going to actually end on it. I'm going to do my whole dog and pony show and then just be like, well, that's where I'm at.
That's where I'm at.
Runner.
I mean, it really is because I just always thought about like when people are telling their story, you know, you hear these stories and like they have this big, you know, transformation. I'm like, what about us who are still in the middle of the mess, but I have value in my story right now. I can help the person behind me who's just starting their journey and the person who's further ahead of me can help me. And so I think we are all in a good place to help each other.
I love that. And this is what I want to end on. Fuck those people who show up online like, oh my God, you guys, I like went through this storm and it was like awful and done. But now I just live in a world of rainbows.
Right.
And it's so great. And you need to be like me. Oh my God, get off your fucking high horse. No, you're not. Just be who you just be. There's no end. There's no place. Like, yes, your life will get better, but we are constantly evolving. Just because Morgan hasn't gone through a divorce herself, that doesn't mean that Morgan's life is yay and Andrea's life is yay because you have this thing. And so now Andrea's forever damaged unless she gets this enlightened moment where then she gets to the other side where everything's gone. No, we all have stuff. We all are always changing and adapting, pivoting, learning. And it's okay to be in the mess because guess what? On some level, We're all in some kind of a mess. We're just too afraid to show it. Because going back to the beginning of your story, we are so conditioned
yeah.
to only show the pretty and the good and the hashtag blessed. And we need to stop. Really?
And that's why you have to be careful after the divorce. Don't go look at their social media. You know, I recommend blocking your ex everywhere because they are going to go on in some way that's going to hurt you. That's going to yeah. feel really, you know, just even if they just take the kids to Disneyland without you, that's somehow you might have that hurt. Just you have to block them, especially if you do figure out that you were in abuse, things like that. I had to block him on everything. I couldn't. What is he going to do? He's not going to post her and not say things that are going to be hurtful to you. He will be sure to say things that are hurtful. This is the love of my life. I've never been happier. Do you want to see that? No, nobody wants to see that.
No.
Even if it's not true, you don't want to see that.
Well, Laura, we love you. We would never block you. So thank you so much for spending time with us today, being here. You guys, we're going to put direct links to everywhere you can find Laura in the show notes because I want you to go check out her podcast and everything else that Laura has to offer because there's a lot. Thank you, Laura. Everything that you brought us today was just incredible.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And you guys are doing great work.
So that's where I'm at.
That's where I'm at.
That's it. That's it. The end of the podcast. No, I'm just kidding. But what a great takeaway. What a great takeaway. And here's the thing, everybody. If you're listening to this, remember, divorce is a marathon. It is not a sprint. Every day is not a good day. It's just how it is. And some days you're barely hanging on. It's hour by hour. And that is okay.
That's right. And that is why we do the show. Like I just said to you guys a few minutes ago, there is a reason why we dedicate so much time to this podcast, to our community, to our guides, to our divorce crash course. I mean, contrary to public opinion, like we actually have other full-time jobs besides all of this. But this is so important to the both of us because we want you to have this valuable information because we don't want you to make these major mistakes and we don't want you to hurt and we don't want your kids to hurt unnecessarily.
Please do us a favor, go online, rate and review us, leave us a fabulous review. It enables us to bring on amazing guests just like our guest today. Please do it for us, means the world, and also keeps this podcast going. So thank you for listening.
Hey, and shout out to that truck driver who thought that we chat too much and gave us one star. I see you. You better not meet me at a rest stop, buddy, because it's on and I'm going to chat you up even more and waste more of your time, haul truck driver.
Oh, long haul truck driver. It's okay. We still love you and we do this show with you. So listen, remember, not every day is a great day. That's okay. But in your worst days, know this, you have got this.
And we have got you.